This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
It's Sesame and Carta.
Sesame and Carta.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And I'm sticking to that name.
That's You're sticking name. To it. So it's kind my of name. Like how sesame seeds stick to a bun.
Yeah, exactly.
How do they stick to the bun, though?
I never really looked into that. I mean,
Mitch Hedberg brought this up years ago. Is there a sesame seed, like, adhesive or something? Like, how does it actually stick to the bun?
I don't know. I'm sure if you looked it up, you could probably find an answer online.
But I don't want to.
At this point, I mean, that was probably the 90s when he...
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably a little bit harder to find an answer.
I don't want to look it up. I'm too lazy. I want you to tell me, Matt.
I mean, I'll look it up later, probably.
I almost called you Matt again. I mean, come on.
No. Yeah, my name is Sesame. But, I imagine it's probably something where they actually make that, like, with the bun itself. Like, they don't put it on top of the bun, but, like, they, like...
Oh.
Well, no, that still wouldn't make sense, because you would still need to insert the seeds on top of the bun, or not insert, but I don't know. There's got to be some kind of coating, maybe, like a glaze that they put on the bun, and then that causes the seeds. But some of the seeds do fall off a little bit, I think, though.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think people pay attention to that, probably, but if you, like... You know, watch, like, if you look at your plate or whatever when you're done, you probably see like at least a couple seeds, you know, that had fallen off. But I don't know. Maybe they put it in some oil for like a few seconds, just like a really short time, and then maybe that gets the seeds like stuck on. And then they let the buns like cool off. I don't know. It seems kind of elaborate for like.
Maybe I'll investigate this during our break.
Yeah, we should do an episode about that. how sesame seeds started becoming on hamburgers, how that became a thing, you know, or whatever. That would be interesting.
Yes.
Because some places don't do it. You know, it really depends on what burger place you're going to. You might go to, like, Red Robin or just, like, any regular diner, whatever. You know, it really depends on, you know, what kind of bun... you're going to get. Did you ever get the Moron Burger before? There was a restaurant in Toledo called, I forgot the name of it, but have you ever heard of that before?
I've heard of it, but I never had it.
Okay, well, Moron, do you know what it is or not?
No, I don't.
Okay, so Moron Burger was from this restaurant in the 70s, maybe early 80s too. I'm not sure how long it lasted. I don't remember the name of it. My parents used to go there a few times when they were younger. Eventually, you know, went out of business and they, bought this Chinese restaurant. I don't know if the Chinese restaurant bought the business itself or bought the building. I don't know exactly how it worked out, but somehow the restaurant that like they wanted the rights to that burger because that was like a sort of like a pop, kind of like a diner's dives type of thing. Like people, like if they came to Toledo, they would like that would be like a thing that they would try, like Rudy's hot dog, and they would probably try this thing too. That's kind of like that sort of thing. So this Chinese restaurant bought the rights to the burger. You know, if anyone wanted to get that, you know, instead of Chinese food, or if they wanted to, you know, just to go hog wild and order both Chinese food and the burger. So it's called the Moron Burger because the idea was that you would be a moron to eat the whole burger because it was like so huge. But if you did like eat it all at one sitting at the restaurant, you'd like get like your name on the wall or what, that type of, you know, gimmick or whatever. But what's interesting about this burger though is that it was really flat, so the bun was like really, really wide, like circumference, and like the burger patty was like really, really, really thin. But you're still probably eating like the equivalent of like a triple Whopper, you know, or whatever, you know, at burger, or like a quadruple Whopper, even like at Burger King. But it was like such like a wide, and that was sort of like a, how do we get on this again? We're talking about
sesame seeds. I'm thinking, you know, that's like a cardiac arrest on a bun, right?
Yeah, but That was why they called it the Moron Burger. So that's the story. And I don't know the name of the restaurant. I think I did try to look it up a couple of years ago to find some, you know, some information, like some like Toledo history, but I don't think anything came up. So I think it's very, very obscure Toledo history that like me, my parents, and maybe my brother, a few other people know about. But it's like, because the Chinese restaurant that bought it, I think they went out of business eventually too. And nobody bought the rights.
We'll have to investigate this sometime. And if anybody listening knows about this, message me at mike@cullenpark.com and let me know. Okay, so today on the show, we are covering the unaired pilot for the short-lived Nickelodeon, at least in the United States, television series called Space Cases. Came out in the mid-90s. Like most of these type of shows did. and it was kind of like, I don't know, I want to say like Star Trek for kids.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah. What'd you think of this episode, Matt? I mean, Sesame, sorry, I called you Matt.
Yeah. No, you know, it's like, what was I going to say? I was going to tell a joke and I forgot. No, it was a really, a bad joke in a sense that it's not funny, but then there's also implication where I said, what if we put mat seeds on the hamburger buns, but that sounds really bad. So,
that sounds like cannibalism. Sounds like something out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 or something.
Chop me up a bit, put me on a hamburger bun. But anyway, like part 2 where they had the chili cook off, that was humans and that was a weird, that was part 2.
Texas.
Yeah. Anyway, the great old Texas chili cook off. Anyway, so I liked it. I actually enjoyed it quite a bit, in fact. The film was pretty bad, like grainy, you know, stuff like that, but it was good. I liked it.
I enjoyed it for what it was. I remember trying to watch the show when it was on. I don't know about the actual episodes, if they're anything like what this was, but they were, this was, you know, like you said, it was kind of choppy, the video and everything, but the actual show was pretty popular for a couple seasons. I mean, it was short-lived, but it did last 2 seasons. So, I don't know. Might watch more of it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I might watch some of it, too. I didn't know it went on for a whole 2 seasons. So like, I still don't understand the concept of unaired pilot. Like,
unaired pilot, sometimes it's for a show that was never picked up. Sometimes they make a pilot for a show and then they don't air it because they decided to change some things before the show went to air.
Oh, okay.
All right, I do know that they like the one major change I can see visually was Jewel State, who plays the character of Catalina, her haircut changes between the unaired pilot and the actual first episode.
Oh, okay.
I see. She's the one with like multicolored hair in this episode. She still has multicolored hair, but it's more like a bowl cut or something, or like a bob or something in the actual TV series. And she's regular, only on the show for one season, too. So,
oh, man.
Yeah.
I liked her haircut, too. Her hair was pretty cool.
I mean, she's a good actress. I liked her on Firefly. She went on to star on that, which another space drama. So,
yeah, that was a lot more successful in cult fandom. Well, cult stuff standing, like that.
But it only lasted 13 episodes, so.
That was it, just one season, yeah. I've heard of people that they actually, even to this day, like 20 years later, still have not watched the final episode because, like, in their minds, it feels like it's, like, still, like, it's not over or whatever. Like, that's commitment right there.
Yeah,
right?
They're supposed to be rebooting it for, like, Disney Plus or something, so we'll see how that happens.
Oh, so God forbid they'll give them a second season, but they'll just reboot it.
The problem with that is the word reboot means something different to, like, anybody.
Oh, okay.
Because, I mean, it's like, is it a remake? Is it a reboot? Is it a continuation reboot? Is it a remake reboot?
Okay.
You know, it's like, I don't know which it is, because people will say reboot for anything.
That's true.
Like when they get a new James Bond, they're like, oh, we're rebooting the series. But is that, that's kind of a continuation, but it's not really, but it's, you know, and then, you know, you'll have people that'll be like, you know, the new Star Wars movies were a reboot of the series, but they really were just sequels.
Right, yeah, they're a continuation of the story. Yeah, exactly.
So,
I mean, it's terrible.
I've even heard people call out and out remakes reboots. Like, they'll be like, oh, this is the, you know, reboot of this show. But I mean, something, honestly, like How I Met Your Father is a reboot of How I Met Your Mother in a way, because it's a continuation, but it's still a reboot. Because,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
Because you have Rob, well, sorry, I shouldn't say anything.
Yeah,
sorry, I didn't mean to let that slip, but,
oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
I think the statute of limitations are out on that.
That's fine.
So anyways, this show does star Walter Jones, who later on was one of the original, I believe, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Okay.
He plays Harlan Band. We've got Christian Ayer as Radu. We got Raya Azizi as Bova. Tamsin Kelsey as TJ Davenport. Marcel Janin as Jesse. Paige Christina as Rosie Lani. I don't know. I can't pronounce this. And Anika Matern as Thelma.
Okay.
We do have guest star David Schramm as Yeehaw Jones. People will probably know him as Roy Biggins from the TV show Wings. Which he was really good on. So, plays a very similar character here, kind of a scheming sort of guy, which he's good
in space.
Yeah. So yeah. What happened in this episode here, Sesame?
Sesame, exactly. So that's my name. They're like stuck on this ship. We don't really know why at this point, but they're on there and they don't really know how the ship works yet. They're, you know, it was alien technology, so they're trying to, you know, figure out how the thing runs. And I don't really know most of the character names, except for some reason Thelma's the only character name person I remember in this show. But one of the guys, he's like playing like this weird version of chess.
Yeah, we start out and we've got Harlan and Bova. They're playing called Minbar Chess.
Yeah, right. And it's like, it kind of like a thing where it's like a tower. It's almost like Jenga in a sense, where it's like, I mean, just the way it's structured, not so much how it's played, but like,
And yeah, Harlan, bring up Star Trek again. It's kind of similar to, I think there's like a Vulcan version of chess and, or something in Star Trek where it's actually multi-layers like that too.
Yeah, so he's playing with this kid. I forgot his name, or at least he looks younger. I'm not sure, you know, what his age is and alien, you know, years or whatever. But
yeah, Bova. Harlan is playing with Bova. So
okay,
Harlan is the is the African American gentleman.
Okay,
Bova is the alien. So
all right, good. Now I know three of the, at least three of the. Mm-hmm. So Harlan he thinks he's won the game, but then Bova's like sleeping, I guess. But then he wakes up, and then he just makes a move and just wins the game. And Harlan gets mad and breaks the whole set. I'm like, okay, dude, it's like you lost a game of chess. Like, come on, you know, it's not a big deal. But
I don't know. I used to do that a lot.
But he had a lot in his mind because he's sort of like being treated like he's not really part of the team, or he's not really given like like any kind of responsibility by like the captain. So he's kind of feeling a little bit like he's sort of like inferior, or doesn't really know his place, or is not really given a place in like the hierarchy or whatever of the the ship. And so then like this dude like does like a space call, I guess you would call it, like a Zoom space call. And it's like this, and it's this Yihad guy, and he's like a salesman. He's like, I've got everything that you could ever dream of or whatever. And so then like Harlan, like an idiot, just like lets him on board, like without any research or like looking into like who this guy is. And so the captain, I forgot his character's name, gets pissed off, and then basically says like, you know, he's not going to give him like any responsibility at all anymore because of that. And this guy, so the name of the episode is called Breath of a Salesman. And it's because every time he talks, like this weird green, like breath stuff comes out of his mouth and it stinks, I guess. I don't know how that's like, if that's like an intentional thing or what, I don't know. But like, and so like he's selling like all of his wares, you know, and then he's like, we got such and such converters and blah, 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 or whatever. And nose plugs. And everyone's like, oh, nose plugs. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, I don't know. Everyone always seems to go for them first, you know, like he's confused about that. Like he doesn't understand he has bad breath, or he does, and he does it on purpose to get people to buy nose plugs. I don't know. He seemed genuinely confused about that. So maybe that part he actually wasn't scheming. He just didn't understand that he has bad breath. I don't know. So then he basically goes on to his whole, you know, his scheming self, if you will, where he realizes that Harlan's kind of a sucker for anything that sounds cool because he's a moron. Sorry, that's mean. He's a nice guy. But and he's like, oh, I've got this, because he tells him, like how did you guys get on this ship or whatever? And like Harlan just goes and just tells the whole story of like how they got there. I'm like, okay, that's not really smart to just like divulge like your entire
If we learned life anything story. From Staying Street Smart.
Exactly.
Previous episodes. Everything yep. Harlan does here is wrong.
Yeah, Capricorn would be, no, he wouldn't be disappointed because he made the exact same mistakes over and over and over, and he had the advantage of having a zapper that just put him back the previous day. But whatever, that's a whole other matter.
Yeah, they needed Corny on the ship. Yep.
Corny's the fucking moron. But anyway, so, and he, not only is he a moron, he was sent to this planet with the explicit purpose of actually teaching people how to do these things, and he himself is actually worse at doing the things than the people he's trying to teach. But that's, again,
yeah, no listen matter. To our previous episode, and you'll understand.
Yeah, yeah, that, no matter the, but that. So, so Yeehaw's like, oh, well, I've got one of these special something, something, whatever, that will, you know, put you into warp speed or whatever, or like a wormhole. I don't remember what he said. Something like
that. That's some kind of like converter that'll do something.
And then all you gotta do is sign this contract. I'm like, oh great, that's gonna go over really well. And then it's like, well, I don't really have any money. And he's like, don't worry, you know, I got real easy payment plans or whatever. Like, okay, it's fine. So then like he, you know, then not Caitlin, what's her name?
Catalina.
Sorry, Catalina, which is interesting because I thought the actress was the woman who played Caitlin Ryan from Degrassi at first because of how grainy the film was. But
yeah, there's like a decade difference in age there. But that
yeah, well, I didn't think about that.
Yeah,
yeah, I didn't think about that. And then I thought, oh well, she also looks like the girl who played Becca in Flash Forward. That was a Disney Channel TV show back like in the mid 90s, and I was a huge, you know, Flash Forward fan. At that point, I mean, you know, like, you know, super fans, we used to call ourselves Flashers. Oh wait, that sounds bad. Anyway, so that's not a good one
to call yourself.
That was a dumb joke, but no, I had to say
joke. It was just not a good thing to call yourselves.
Exactly. You know, so, you know, us 13-year-olds call ourselves Flashers. No, it's totally made up. That's not a term that was used for super fans. Okay, I'm digging myself a hole here. Anyway, so, you know, because it was all grainy, so it was kind of hard to make out.
But just to let you know, it actually was the same actress on Flash Forward as playing Catalina.
So that was Becca?
That's Jewel State. I had to look it up. Nice. I thought it might be.
Nice.
Yeah, it was.
See?
Yeah.
I knew I was right about something. Nice. All right, so that she's like kind of over here in the combo, and then she jumps in and is like, you can't sign that contract, and I'll scream if you sign it. So then she like lets out like this almost like dog whistle scream, like where no one else can hear it, but it's like cracking glass and stuff like that. So anyway, so what happens after that, good sir?
The rest of the crew, they're trying to figure out what's up with the engine. Ship didn't come with the name of the ship is the Krista's. So they're trying to get the Krista's engine to work. The ship didn't come with instruction manual, and Thelma isn't very helpful. She's the like robot that they have. Catalina assures everyone that her invisible friend Susie is an engineering genius who can explain everything, but the others don't take her imaginary friend seriously. Well, she keeps saying it's an invisible friend from a different dimension, not her imaginary friend. Goddard is a tolerant of Catalina's delusion, but Miss Davenport is not. Bova comes down to the engineering. He tells the rest of the crew that the salesman is on board. They go to a cargo bay to meet him and find it filled with junk from all over the universe. Jones, like I said, he slips something into his mouth and eagerly introduces himself to everyone. And his breath is so foul that it actually brings Goddard to his knees. And everyone is devastated by Yeehaw's breath. Yeehaw's breath, that is the name of my next novel. yes. Everybody except for Radu, who doesn't seem to notice. Basically, he makes his first sale, like you said before, nose plugs. He's fascinated to meet Radu because Radu is a Andromedon.
I think it's an Andromedon.
Andromedon. I'm trying to. Yeah.
Hard word.
I guess they are very rare and reputed to be incredibly strong. So, basically, Goddard then yells at Harlan for letting Yeehaw on board and noting that, you know, stranger danger, man, you know?
Exactly.
Then Thelma, she meets a Yeehaw who has an android assistant named Jesse, and they seem to hit it off and kind of have this little flirtatious thing going on. You want to take a quick break here and we'll come back and talk about the rest of the episode, Matt?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And so we are back from outer space.
Yep, I'm kind of disappointed. I wanted to stay in space a little bit longer.
I'm back from outer space. Find you here with that look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key.
What's that from? The Counting Crows song?
No, it's not Counting Crows.
Okay.
It's I Will Survive.
Oh, well, it's usually a Counting Crows song, so that's usually the lyrics you quote the most. So
now I'm back from outer space. Okay, so we've got Yeehaw. He overhears Bova and Rosie. Which one was Rosie again?
I don't remember any of the characters' names.
No, me either.
Like I watched the show and I like retained. Like, almost the entire episode, like, plot-wise, but, like, I don't remember the character's name. Rosie was, I think Rosie was, like, the older woman, like, not old, but she was, like, the adult woman with the glasses, I think.
No, that was Mrs. Davenport.
Oh, well.
Maybe Rosie was the one with the weird colored skin. Maybe rose-colored skin.
I don't even remember that one. Oh, yeah, now I do. Okay, yeah.
So, anyways, Bova... So Yeehaw overhears Rosie and Bova talking about how their trip home will take 7 years and gets an idea. He sells Harlan a worm warp drive converter kit, which will turn their ship into a portable wormhole generator. He promises Harlan an easy payment plan. Catalina is convinced this is a bad idea, but Harlan is determined to impress Commander Goddard by getting them home. He signs the contract. Catalina tries to stop him, but can't. Then she tries to tear up the contract, but she can't do it either because it's ironclad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeehaw reveals the terms of his easy payment plan. They have to give Radu to Yeehaw, so it's basically slavery here.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Slavery in Space. That's the name of my next novel.
Slavery in Space, yeah.
And, Harlan has no problem with those terms, but Catalina is, of course, you know, like any person should be, horrified at the fact that they just sold a human being, or not a human being, but a space being. Yeehaw wants, Radu because they're valuable and he thinks he would make a good sideshow exhibit. Or,
pretty much like
or a slave. Like,
yeah, or a slave. Yes. Or a fighter. You know, yes. Like, hey, go beat up this guy and make me money.
Which is kind of slavery in itself.
It's
kind of like Gladiator or something.
Exactly.
Okay. Radu is also furious when he finds out, of course, because, you know, why wouldn't you be furious if you're about to be sold into slavery?
By someone who you consider to be your friend, yeah.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I didn't know that person had the right to sell his friend into slavery. I'll just let you know this, Sesame, for any reason whatsoever, I will never sell you into slavery.
Well, I appreciate that.
Without your permission. Oh, wait.
Well, then, if it was my permission, by definition, it wouldn't be slavery then.
It could still be.
No, it wouldn't be. If slavery, by definition,
I guess it would be indentured servitude then.
Indentured
servitude.
That still has some sense of coercion on it. If it's completely willing, I would just be a paid servant, essentially, is what I would be. Which I don't consent to that.
Not if you're not getting paid and you're just doing the work for free, and I'm not getting paid.
Well, yeah, then that's getting into some weird gray area territory. Either way, I appreciate it. That's the name of
my next novel. It's called Volunteered Slavery, and
you're gonna get canceled, man. Ooh, you're gonna get canceled by the woke mob, man, because you mentioned the word slavery, brother.
Well.
We're not going to talk about slavery no more. If enough
people listen to this podcast for that to happen, I'd be more than happy to let it happen. just joking. So anyways, Redu's like, you know, pissed off because he's about to be sold into slavery. Goddard and Yeehaw threaten each other. Thelma appeals to Jesse. To, you know, the other android. And talks Yeehaw into taking an alternative payment, Thelma. So now it's going to be a robot slavery.
Yep. And everyone's okay with it. They're like, oh, we're going to miss you.
Yeah, they basically just like are like, cool, thanks for making the sacrifice.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, what the fuck, guys?
But of course, Thelma is not sure if she wants to go.
Right.
Harlan, you know, consoles Thelma, learns that she isn't sure she wants to go. Worse, her feelings seem to be hurt because everyone was upset about Radu leaving, but nobody cares about her leaving.
Right.
She's confused because she's not supposed to have feelings, but she's starting to have feelings, even though she's an android. Harlan explains that they are... That they thought Thelma wanted to go with Jesse and apologize.
Just not true at all. Yeah. Because they were like, it wasn't like, oh, she wants to go. It's great. They were like, oh, cool. See you later. Like, you know, like.
So then they attach this device that Yeehaw gave them to the to the engines. Catalina tells Goddard and Davenport that her invisible friend Susie says the device is causing problems. Davenport, of course, doesn't take it seriously, but isn't willing to bet her life on it. So, upon investigation, they discover that the ship can't handle the power and is going to blow up. And they're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile... Yeehaw spots the Minbar chessboard. Harlan challenges him to a game. Harlan plays better than he ever has before. Harlan baits Yeehaw into a wager. The contract against the Krista. So he basically puts the ship up against their contract.
Again.
Yeah.
He endangers the ship for like the third time.
Then Harlan uses the same unbeatable maneuver that Bova had used at the beginning of the episode. Except for that Yeehaw knows how to beat the maneuver. Meanwhile, the ship is about to blow up. Following Susie's advice, transmitted through Catalina, Goddard saves the ship at the exact moment that Harlan defeats Yeehaw in the chess match.
Nice. Woo! And so did Yeehaw know that the machine didn't work? Like, was he, like...
I'm willing to bet he did, but okay. Who knows. Okay, meanwhile, the ship's about to blow up. Yeehaw beats... he gets beaten. He takes a hasty retreat off of that and says... And Jesse says a fond farewell to Thelma. Goddard commends Harlan for clearing up his own mess... But when he finds out how he did it, he gets pissed off, and the ship sails off into the sunset.
And then that's when we go into episode one. Well, technically episode two, but episode one of the actual
show,
actual series. So my whole thing though is if Yeehaw knew that the machine was a piece of shit. Like, why was he willing to let himself get blown up on board?
Oh, that's true. I forgot the fact that he'd still be on the ship, too, when it blew up.
Or maybe he didn't think that they'd try it that soon or something like that.
Yeah, hoping that they'd wait until he got off to try it.
Yeah, because he did seem kind of scared when it was all smoking and stuff like that. And
yeah,
he was like, "All right, well, we'll get out of here now," or whatever type of thing. Yeah, he probably knew it was a piece of shit. But
so yeah, any final thoughts here on this episode or anything we missed?
See here, I don't know if we missed anything. I think that was pretty much it. Like, the plot wise, it was pretty straightforward. You know, I really liked it. I mean, I was actually kind of surprised of how much I liked it. Like, I would actually rewatch this like sometime. Like, most of the stuff we watch, like, I never watch ever again.
Yeah.
So, but like, I actually might even like watch the series on YouTube because I got a few episodes up there. So, you know, kind of a blast from the past, even though I never actually watched the show when it came out. But as I said before, I was a big Flash Forward fan, Flashers as we called ourselves back in the day. And,
again, we
never did. Yeah.
Again, you probably shouldn't call yourselves that.
No. But you know what's interesting, though, is that there was like a meta moment in that show, because in one of the episodes, I think it was in the last season of Flash Forward, and it was, I don't know if it was like the beginning of the season or near the end, where Tucker, he's like the main male character.
Yeah.
And like,
Ben Foster's character.
Ben Foster, which one of my favorite actors of all time, which is introduced to me by Flash Forward. That was how I first knew him. Well, not knew him, but knew him as an actor. And then, I guess he went streaking, which is not the same thing as flashing. So I guess technically it's not the same thing. But there was an episode where...
It's a variant on the same thing.
Well, because with streaking, I guess the intent is what changes the difference. So like with streaking, you're just running naked, whereas flashing, you're deliberately trying to expose yourself. So that's why I said it's a complete joke. We did not call ourselves flashers. I was just being immature because I'm having a weird day where I'm like, I'm really silly and I'm like, in like the mindset of like a 19-year-old today. So whatever. And then,
that's okay.
It happens sometimes. Sometimes.
So, the show was, co-created by Peter David, who, was a writer on Babylon 5, which was a similar type of show. Young Justice. He wrote a couple of Spider-Man video games.
Hmm.
Wrote Ben 10, X-Men, the animated series back in the day. Also, interestingly, the other co-creator is Bill Mummy, who played Will Robinson on the original Lost in Space.
Interesting.
So, you know, we got some space pedigree here on the Space Cases.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the TV series ran, it ran from 96 to 97, a total of 27 episodes, but spread out in two seasons. So
it's not too bad.
Yeah. So yeah, The like reviews of the show are pretty good, so I'm not even gonna bother reading them. So
yeah, exactly.
So yeah,
you only gotta read the bad ones. Yeah.
So
well, because it was a fun show, it was it's fun. It's you know, it's silly. It's kind of made for kids, I guess, but it's, you know, it was enjoyable.
It's kind of like Star Trek meets Lost in Space, or kind of Voyager sort of thing. Star Trek Voyager, you know. For kids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the Nickelodeon set. On a real low budget. Yep.
Yeah, man. I mean, I could tell it was low budget.
Yeah, I did read some trivia that they used, like, game parts, like board game parts and different things like that for control, for controllers. And they also had to use discarded props from Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, man.
And stuff like that. So, like, other Nickelodeon shows, they had to use the props from those shows because they didn't have that big of a budget. So,
yeah. That's like less than, like, Legends of Tomorrow Season 1 with, like, the ship. Like,
yeah.
Like, of how bare the ship was at that. Because, like, the ship has gotten more complex over the seasons. But, yeah, man.
Anyways, any other thoughts here before we wrap things up?
No, just the usual, just, you know, do all the normal safety precautions you need to do to make yourself, you know, healthy physically and or mentally healthy. pray for Ukraine if you are a person who prays. Meditate on Ukraine if you're into, like, New Age, secret, law of attraction stuff. Donate if you have the money or the means to of expendable income, you know, to either any kind of cause you want. I'm just using Ukraine as an example because that's the I wouldn't say that's the main thing that's happening because there's stuff going on all over the world, but it's just a reality. It's not like it's a good thing, but it is a reality that when a war breaks out in Europe, it does tend to affect the world more so when there's a war somewhere else. And I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying that's a factual thing that happens. You know, we can get into a whole conversation about why that is. And obviously ethnicity and race does play a factor into that, but it's a very serious situation going on. And, you know, hopefully it will be resolved soon, but I don't think it's going to be. I think it's going to be months or even perhaps years. And just keep your heart open, be compassionate, try to put yourselves into other people's shoes. Not literally. Well, if you want to, I guess. But just realize that, you know, there's a lot of pain in the world right now. Yeah. People are going through a lot of stuff, and
just make sure if you put your feet in other people's shoes that they fit. And
you might want to, like, you know, maybe make sure they're clean too, because, you know, other people's feet in there and stuff like that. You know,
I mean, because the only time I really ever put my feet in other people's shoes is when I go bowling. And
even then, I'm like, I'm not gonna do that anymore. I'm gonna get my own shoes. Like, I'm not gonna be putting my feet in other people's shoes that, like, 12 people have worn the past 2 hours. Kidding me? No. Oh, they spray some shit in there. No, I don't. Well, not shit. They sprayed shit in there. That would be bad. But
but anyways, folks.
Yeah.
be safe. Love one another. Check out our Patreon. Check out our TeePublic. Speaking of t-shirts, buy a Cullen Park Productions t-shirt. Right now, $20 a t-shirt. They're beautiful. You can get a sweatshirt for $40 up until March 30th. Half of the money that you spend on that goes right to Cullen Park Productions to help support this podcast and movies and other things that we do. Yep. Follow us on all the social medias and, give us a 5-star review wherever you can.
We're 5-star men, like Dennis Reynolds says.
Yes, we are.
I'm a 5-star man.
Mm-hmm. We both are. Sesame. Yep. Sesame and me.
Ooh, Sesame. I like that. Yes.
So, anyways, until next time, wear a mask, wear a condom, be good, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.